Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. We are Cubs on Tap after dark tonight because it's a hella late one as we record this. It's about 11:45 at night on Friday. It's a good night to, you know, hashtag crack them and celebrate a Cubs victory. I'm talking about a 3-0 Cubs winner, but before we get into all that, I'm Ron Luce, joined by the one and the only Mr. Joey Ricotta. My friend, Cubs won a baseball game. How are you today?
Cubs won a baseball game. Like you said, I'm doing good. It's Friday, cracking them. Bud Light Limeys are in the building. Yeah, man, it's good. It's good to win a baseball game. Good to shut down these dirty, disgusting Redbirds in their home ballpark. Anytime you could do that and start out a series this way, that's freaking cool and tough, and that makes me feel good, Rob.
Yeah, and just like our good buddy Juice says, we'll just start it off right, and we'll get this thing officially in the explicit column. But fuck the Cardinals. I mean, that's what we love to say here at Cubs on Tap, and we can say that tonight because the Cubs are 3-0 winners over these Redbirds in St. Louis. Kyle Hendricks, what a place to start, Joey. Kyle Hendricks dealt tonight in the city of St. Louis. He officially ends the night with 7 1/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, no runs, only 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts for his third win of the season. Dude, that's the professor I like to see. It's weird. It's weird going to class on a Friday night. Like, normally from my day in going to school, like, you know, the older you get, the less.
That's a skip day, right?
You do stuff on Fridays, right? Yeah, Friday's like a kind of a slack off kind of day, or you're done by like noon. No, no, no. We had a little Friday night class from the professor in St. Louis, dude. I mean, you got to love what you saw tonight.
Class was in session. I mean, it was a real professional professor masterclass. He took him to school, to be honest. I mean, like you said, on a Friday, no less, when people are usually trying to skip out and head out on the town, go crack them at their local pub, whatever you want to do, you know, get the weekend started. They could not do that. The Cardinals did not get to start their weekend. And let's be honest, what is there to really do in St. Louis? Because it is super boring on a Friday night anyway, so they might as well just be in school. So Kyle Hendricks was just providing them with that. And, I mean, pitching into the eighth inning looked incredible. I mean, he got Lars Nootbaar there in a key situation at that last batter that he faced, that fake General Mills product that we like to call him. 5 straight changeups, did not give in that situation. Only one of those could have been really called a strike, and he just got him to wave and miss and completely fool him with that changeup. Really love what I saw from Hendricks tonight, or heard, because most of the game I was listening, but I look back at his pitch usage. He really split them up pretty well as far as sinker and changeup. He used about half of each, like almost the same number of pitches for sinkers and changeups. And then he was using that four-seamer high up in the zone. Four-seamers up, sinkers down, and then in and outside, and then that changeup down. Hendricks was – he was vintage Hendricks tonight.
He was vintage Hendricks, and it was great to see because, like, we've watched this guy really for the last 2 years just up and down, and you're, like, wondering if he doesn't have it anymore. Starts, like, tonight remind you he still has it. What it is that's throwing him off, who knows? It could be a plethora of things. It could be the new ball. It could be, you know, the crazy spring trainings and off seasons. Again, he's a creature of habit. There's a reason he's the professor because, like, he's just so dialed in on the mound. You know, he's a guy that has been messed with over these last 2 years with all the changes in baseball, whether it's been, you know, the CBA and a shortened spring training, whether it's been COVID, what have you. He's certainly a guy that has suffered from that. But speaking of the pitching, we keep it going. I mean, you mentioned Hendricks getting that big out and then David Ross pulling him from the game. Chris Martin coming into the game and getting 2 outs in a row to get out of the jam. He gets another hold. And another guy that, you know, every time it's funny, anytime a guy on this team that's on a 1-year contract does something good, because everybody's like, oh, that ups the trade value. But it really did feel like Chris Martin did help his trade value just a smidge getting out of that jam tonight, Joey.
Yeah, high leverage situation, and then he was able to kind of maneuver out of that. He was like Houdini out there.
Big to be Houdini, bro. He's like 6'9".
Okay, that's fair. Man's a freaking giant out there on the mound. You cannot hide him. He just got out of the inning. And, hey, I've been on this show in the past with you and with Juice and saying this guy freaking sucks. I do not really like Chris Martin. I think that he, not as a person, I have nothing against him as a person, but nothing as a pitcher. Yeah, just you got to say that now because people will be like, what do you have against this person? Nothing, dude. Not at all. But him on the mound, it's like he is a seatbelt. Like I always look at him as like a seatbelt. Tonight, we just were forced to fasten the seatbelts when he entered the game, and we did not crash. He got us safely to our destination, point A to point B. Chris Martin, thank you for getting us there. The Uber, thank you for the Lyft or Lyft. I don't know. Was it a Lyft or was it an Uber? Doesn't matter. We got to our destination. And, yeah, the trade value is increasing somehow. So you'll love to see it.
Yeah, an Uber XL was probably needed to ensure Chris Martin had enough foot room to get us to our destination tonight. But, dude, very well put. I mean, it wasn't pretty, right? He takes the one ball, like, off the ankle and gets it over to first without the runners advancing. Like, that was kind of a big play. And then it's the line out right to Nico to pretty much end the inning. And, you know, Chris Martin kind of – you mentioned the term seatbelt. Chris Martin's like when your younger sibling gets their driver's permit and you're in the car with them the first time and you're death gripping the handle that's over the passenger seat. Like, that's kind of what it feels like.
The oh shit handle.
Yeah, the oh shit handle. That's kind of what happens with guys like Chris Martin, at least so far this season. But he has shown moments of brilliance and just showing that he can be a quality relief pitcher. And he showed a little bit of that tonight, which was certainly cool and tough. And, dude – David Robertson, kind of making up for what happened yesterday, comes in, gets his ninth save of the season to lock it down for the Cubbies. Clean inning with a strikeout for him. His ERA back under two now as it sits at 1.95. Another guy that this team brought in, worked, put him in the pitch lab. I remember when he signed, I was like, oh, that's cool. David Robertson's still pitching. And, like, now he's come in and become, you know, arguably the most trusted arm in that bullpen for David Ross so far this season. So, another great showing from him tonight as well, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's arguable at this point. I mean, he is really the most consistent reliever out of this bullpen. I guess you could probably say Efrost, throw him in that mix as well. But even he has had some clunkers this season. And Robertson, yeah, the last time we saw him, he had that hanging slider against the Pirates, which was the first pitch of the at-bat. Michael Chavis was sitting on it, took him out of the park. He tried to sneak one in there, tried to just get a first pitch strike on him. Other than that, I mean, he was great in that outing too. I think he threw 12 pitches tonight, nine of them for strikes. Very clean inning. And it was three straight games that he's pitched in now. So it's like, that's impressive to me that he had this good of stuff in his third straight game that he's pitched in 3 days in a row. So Robertson, just like Chris Martin, up in the trade value, and Robertson should be able to bring back a very, very healthy piece, you would think, at the deadline.
Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, not saying he's Craig Kimbrel by any means, but just example, look at what, like, Craig Kimbrel fetched. Craig Kimbrel's trade was the only trade that fetched major league level ready players.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Madrigal and Cody Hoyer, a guy that I think we could all sit here and agree that we'd love to see Cody Hoyer this season. It's a shame he had Tommy John, but a guy that we can be excited about for 2023 nonetheless. But Joey, transitioning just a smidge from the pitching, because although that was good, the bats were there too tonight. Everybody except the 7, 8, 9 hitters registering at least one hit, both Yan Gomes and Nico Horner with a pair of hits each. And, dude, that's where I want to start talking, because Nico Horner is just on an absolute tear right now. He ultimately goes 2 for 3 tonight with a walk, 2 RBIs, and runs scored. He has got that average up to 286, 731 OPS. Don't be fooled by it. But he parks his fourth homer of the season tonight. Dude, Nico Horner is like on one right now.
Nico! Every time he does something, I just want to scream. I love Nico, man. I don't know. It's just, I think people were too quick to write him off as like a legitimate starter in this league. Because, and not just even a shortstop, but even as a second baseman, I think because he had the ups and downs early in his career. But, like, a lot of people still forget, still to this day, Ron, they forget that, like, he was kind of thrust into the major leagues due to injuries. Like, this kid shouldn't have been at the big league level when he was. He didn't get a whole lot of time. And I know they mentioned it on a lot of the broadcasts that, you know, yeah, he didn't get a lot of time at the minor league level. Barely played at all, really, at the minor league level. So you're kind of starting to see the power develop a little bit. Like, I still think Nico's a guy that can give you 15 home runs in a season. I still think that's going to happen, whether it's this season or not. He's going to hit over 10 home runs this year, though, it looks like. So, I mean, you feel pretty safe about that. And now he's starting to heat back up again. He had kind of a little bit of a slump there for a little bit, but he's 8 for his last 17, hitting .471 since the beginning of that the Pirates series. I mean, he's really, really starting to come into his own and heat back up here again. And you love to see it because if there's one piece on the infield right now that you can feel confident about moving forward, whether it is at second base or at shortstop or at second base, because maybe eventually he does go back to second base and they bring in a shortstop, or a shortstop comes up through the minor league ranks and eventually becomes that starter at shortstop, whether it's second or short, you can kind of feel confident now that Nico Hoerner is going to be one of those dudes moving forward. So anytime he does something well or has a big game like this, or like he's showing these last few games, it's great because that he's one of the big reasons why we're watching this team play every night.
Absolutely. He is just he's continuing to get better. He's giving you a glimpse toward the future and what this team has to offer. There are some guys here that can very easily be a part of, you know, that next core when this team is competing. And I absolutely think Nico Hoerner is one of those pieces. Like you said, whether it's as a utility type guy that they move around, I mean, who knows? There's a chance him and a guy like Christopher Morel can both kind of serve in that role.
Yeah.
Maybe he is just your everyday second baseman. Maybe he does stay at shortstop longer than people expect. Who knows? But he's certainly just continuing to do great things. And speaking of another guy, continuing to do great things, Ian Happ is an all-star. He gets a hit tonight, RBI double for him. That average still sitting very pretty at .288 with an .860 OPS. I mean, just you tweeted it out perfectly. So this is where I'm going to turn it over to you, my friend. You called him Ian Mr. Consistent. That's exactly what he's become, and especially when he's been hitting in this three hole lately.
Who would have thought that we'd be saying that, though, right? Like, yeah. when have we ever thought about Ian Happ being Mr. Consistent? I don't remember a time, because there hasn't been a time, because it's been these hot stretches. He's really good. He's good for the first half. He's bad for the second half. He's bad in the first half. He's good in the second half. He needs to go back down to the minors, cut down the strikeout rate. Oh, he comes up, and then now he looks great. No, this season, this is the Ian Happ that they were so excited about drafting. They were so excited about bringing up. We've been so excited about the potential of Ian Happ. And we've also said in the past, and you can follow tweets, you can follow past episodes, shows, all that written work of us saying how unlucky he's gotten in the past too with batted balls. Because that's true. The underlying metrics, they never matched up really with what he was doing.
Right.
Like, he was playing and hitting much better than what the production was or what the results were. Now you're seeing the fucking results. And it's like, holy shit, man. Ian Happ, like you said, he's an all-star. Please, you got to vote this guy in, because they keep showing these graphics of the WAR and the OPS and all that in comparison to other National
League outfielders. Yeah, he's amongst the best in baseball, let alone in just the NL and the outfield.
Best in baseball, amongst the best in baseball. And that says something from a guy that in the past – he has had just a ton of different struggles. And now, hey, if he has to play left field instead of you're moving him around, playing him in center field, seems like he's locked into that left field spot. Maybe that's a big part of this. Obviously, the advancements that he's made and the adjustments that he's made from the right side of the plate, the improvements there have played a huge part in this whole thing. But it's just like nightly. You can pretty much count on Ian Happ at least getting a hit or getting a walk just about every night, it seems like now. And I don't know what else to say about it. I'm really impressed, and I'm just happy to be able to see this now, because this is what we thought it could be, right?
Yeah, this absolutely is what we thought it could be. And I'm gonna shamelessly toot my own horn here really quick. But I did write an article during the off season, and it was regarding Ian Happ. And I wrote a couple of them, not many. I think I wrote two or three of them, of certain guys on the team and what they need for 2021 success. And for Ian Happ, I said it. Just bring consistency to the table. The talent was clearly there. It was the consistency that he was lacking from making him live up to that hype as a first-round pick and a top 10 pick when he was taken in the draft out of Cincinnati. Now he's living up to the hype. He's got that level of consistency. Like you said, the strides from hitting from the right side of the plate making a huge difference. He's playing arguably a gold glove left field. He's been very good defensively as well. Just all around.
Almost made a hell of a catch tonight, too.
Yeah.
And he threw out Yepes or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I mean, he is just proving that he can be a great all-around player and all-around outfielder. And I'm telling you, man, I know we talked about it. I'm gonna stick with my little hot take that I said about keeping him around for the future. I really think there is a lot of opportunity here with a guy like Ian Happ. Joey, you have anything to add regarding Ian Happ? If not, I do want to turn it back over to you really quick for any final thoughts on this W before we look ahead to two games for the rest of the weekend.
Not a whole lot more on Ian Happ because there's nothing else to really be said, I don't think. But like you said, you know, your hot take of him maybe being extended or whatever. I don't know if it's a hot take. I'm very much, and it might be a hot take with Cubs Twitter and Cubs fans because I ran a poll tonight, and I know you saw it.
Yes, I did.
If you had to pick one to extend, Wilson Contreras or Ian Happ, and that's not to say that, like, the Cubs can only pick one because we know that it's not that they can only pick one. They have the money. They can pick both if they really want to, right? Right. It's just whether or not they really want to build around both or not. And I'm not sure that they do. We're not even sure if they want to build around either one of them, right? Like, we don't know what the exact plan is with Jed. And they're not going to tip their hand because that also hurts them in the negotiation process with these players. So, like, smartly, wisely, they're not going to tell you which one they're going to build around, right? But if they had to pick one or the other, I am so on the fence. And that's the reason why I posed the question. It wasn't because, like, I think one or the other. I just, like, Willie is a guy that it seems like he's going to be shipped at the deadline. Like, that's just what everyone keeps saying. It kind of makes sense. It's the last year of his contract, right? He's going to bring a big haul. He's hitting tremendously from the plate, although he's cooled down a little bit here lately.
Just a smidge.
Which is notable because teams are going to look at that, right? I mean, yes, he has been DHing a lot, and that's helping the bat this season, but he is starting to cool down a little bit, and it is notable. Teams will mention that when you're trying to talk trade discussions. But I guess my main point here is, or like what I'm getting at is, Ian Happ or Wilson Contreras, I don't know, because the leadership qualities in Wilson Contreras, they seem to be there when you're talking about these younger players like Christopher Morel and, you know, maybe some of these other guys. He's very passionate. You could tell he bleeds Cubby Blue. But then you have Happ, who's just kind of like this quiet guy who just goes about his business, but like he's still very personable. Like, he's made connections with the city, like you guys have talked about on a past episode and stuff. And it's like, and now he's performing like that first round pick. So it's like, I also wonder though, because of the depth in the outfield with Kevin Alcantara, Pecro Armstrong, Canario, he showed off his cannon tonight at the minor league level, just absolutely ripped one from right field, gunned a guy out by about 100 yards. There's a lot of guys in the outfield, but there's not a whole lot of catchers, at least until like you hit high A, low A, where you can feel good about, because Miguel Amaya, I can't feel good about him anymore. I just can't.
No.
I don't know, man. If you extend, I'm so much on the fence about this, Ron, that you could tell me either way. You could say extend Contreras or extend Happ, and I'd probably agree with you because it's like, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have that answer. And I know I'm ranting a little bit here, kind of like extending my thought process, but I don't know where to
you're
go.
Thinking,
like, Jed has
you're
a tough
thinking
decision.
On the fly. You're thinking on the fly.
It's Jed okay. has a tough decision. You know what I mean?
It is a tough decision. And I'll tell you what, I think something too that's being analyzed as well, especially with Wilson Contreras, is, you know, the DHing, keeping the bat in play. You know, Happ has the youth. Happ plays a less demanding position. You know, there's certainly arguments for both. I will tell you right now, the overwhelming majority is to keep Willie in your poll.
I know, that's what I saw too, and I'm like, so technically, you do have a hot take.
But. And I was gonna say I was in the minority very much so in that poll, but I mean, yeah, I agree with you, though. There's certainly enough argument to be made for both of those players to stick around as a part of building for the future. But I think that's what's going to make this offseason, when it does eventually get here, so interesting and unique because, you know, or really even the trade deadline, you know, are one or both of these guys gone before we even get to the late part of the season? Who knows? But we'll certainly see that. Just so
Ron, sorry, but I know we're going to kind of wrap this thing up, and we're Cubbies after dark, Cubs on tap after dark right now, so we want to get going. But I would say, like, this is the other part of that conversation too. And I think that, and I don't know if everybody's thinking about this when they're doing that poll, mm-hmm. but Ian Happ is going to get you a ton at the deadline this year because he has the extra year of control, mm-hmm. and he's performing so well. So I don't know, man. Like, do you just trade both?
I mean, I don't know. I will say, though, if you trade both, you are officially kicking the can down to 2025 for this 100%. Team to truly be competitive.
Unless you get close to major league level talent.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I don't know if that's a guarantee with either one of those guys that you're going to get that. So it'll certainly be something to keep an eye on, and I'm there with you, man. It'll be unique. An intriguing storyline to keep an eye on as the season winds down and that trade deadline gets. I mean, we're already approaching July 1st. You know, trade deadline is going to be here in about 5 weeks. So it's coming. It's coming yeah. quickly, and it's going to really bring up a lot of interesting things to watch, especially with this Cubs team. But Joey, just quickly, my thoughts, just to add some stats here. Wisdom, Contreras, Morel, all contributing hits as well. We mentioned Gomes also having two hits tonight. And we got to see David Bodie back. And he's gone, as your little tagline there says, for those that are watching live or go back and watch the video on YouTube. Vieira is gone, DFA'd, to make room for David Bodie on the roster. So that is certainly cool and tough. It's actually kind of nice to see David Bodie back, Joey. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's nice to see him back. He obviously struggled a little bit tonight. I think he have a couple strikeouts in that game.
Two, yep.
And the bottom of that lineup, 7 through 9, were, 0 for 12 or something like that? So something ugly between him, Hayward, and Rivas. Rivas has been hitting the ball pretty well, though, lately. Can't fault Bodie, though, for, like, the first game back, right? You mentioned it before we hopped on here. Maybe you mentioned it on here. I don't remember, but you know, first time seeing major league pitching since the entire season he hasn't played. So, and then, you know, coming back from the shoulder injury and all that, it's taking him a minute to get here, to just get back to the major league level. It's just nice to be able to say, to sit here and say, we have somebody who can field a ground ball, make a routine play at second base, mm-hmm. and potentially hit a home run. Because if Andrelton Simmons is playing second base, you know you're not getting shit offensively. If VR is playing second base, not only are you not getting anything offensively, you're getting a negative defensively. I mean, he was a negative in both categories. You look at it on FanGraphs, he's just awful this season. But now you got a guy, Bodie will strike out a little bit. He might hit like 210 to 225. Like, he's not going to go crazy with the batting average. But he can hit a ball out of the ballpark, and he can make a routine play. So mm-hmm. I never thought I'd be saying this, but I am really happy to see David Bodie, even though he didn't have a good night tonight.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, my friend. But nonetheless, the Cubs get the dub done. 3-0 win over the Cardinals. Sometimes a boring game like that in certain ways is good. It's good for the blood pressure. We kept that low tonight. And I kind of tuned out Apple TV because – as everybody knows, if you watch the game, it was the Apple TV Friday night game. I believe that goes into effect where you got to start paying for it now for the rest of the season, starting next month. So fun little fact for anybody that might have an Apple TV account to have watched this game and a couple other ones so far this season. We will look ahead, though, Joey. For everybody that is watching, we will not be back with you tomorrow on Saturday, but we will be back Sunday with a show to wrap up this Cardinals series. So the Cubs and Cardinals are back at it on both Saturday, June 25th, and Sunday, June 26th. Both games start at 1:15 Central Daylight Time. They will be played at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, Missouri. For both games, if you're in the Cubs market, it is 670 The Score and Marquee Sports Network. And if you are in the St. Louis market for both games, it is KMOX 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, WIJR AM 880 for Espanol, and it will be Cardinals Valley Sports Midwest to watch the game. Saturday's matchup is Adrian Sampson. The recently recalled Adrian Sampson will take the bump and start for the Cubbies against Miles Mikolas. Mikolas having a pretty good season so far, 2.64 ERA, and he's 5-5 through the early going here. And on Sunday, it'll be Matt Swarmer, the no-name guy, going against the Cardinals. It's so poetic, and I love it. His 5.84 ERA, looking to lower that against the recently returning Jack Flaherty, who in just two starts has only pitched six innings, only struck out four, and has a 7.50 ERA at the moment. So, Joey, I will turn it back over to you, my friend. What are you expecting out of the Cubs and Cardinals over these next 2 days of the weekend as we go ahead and break this thing down?
Man, I'm hoping that Adrian Sampson can pitch as well as he did on Sunday against the Atlanta Braves before he was set down to meet that 13-pitcher limit. But, you know, he then being called back up, obviously, here. Sampson looked good. Like, I didn't really get a chance to watch the game live on Sunday because I had my own, but I went back and watched a little bit, and he looked really good. He, what did he give up, like one hit in that entire outing?
Yeah,
no runs, five Ks. So he, you know, hopefully he can do something similar here through 56 pitches in that game. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, 4 2/3, only one hit, struck out five against the Braves. Hopefully, I mean, like in a starter's role here, we'll see if that's the same type of case here. I mean, scouting report-wise, you'd figure the Cardinals would get a little bit of report on what happened this past Sunday, what they've seen in the past here from Sampson at the major league level. But, yeah, man, maybe we can get a decent outing there. Mikolas has been pretty solid so far this season for the most part. Flaherty on Sunday, you know, you mentioned Swarmer. Swarmer, I don't know. Like, I just hope that he can kind of do more of what we saw the first couple of outings. And it's just so tough with him being a two-pitch pitcher. I know that slider does, like, a couple of different things. He gets a lot of vertical movement on it. So at times he can get some more horizontal movement by the way that he throws it, but it's very tough to be a two-pitch pitcher in this league. And I guess sometimes you can kind of look at it as, like, that's a three-pitch mix just by the variations of the slider, but it's very tough in this league as a starter to throw two pitches and be effective. You've got to really be pinpoint with that fastball and tunnel it well with your other pitch, which is the slider, but which he does a good job of. It's just he gives up home runs. This is a lineup that you don't want to do that with. You can't afford to give up a ton of bombs to. They did a really good job, by the way, tonight. Hendricks and the pitching staff did a very good job of avoiding that 2-4 hitters. I think it was Gorman, Arenado, Goldschmidt. They didn't have a hit tonight. They had one walk. I think Goldie was the one that had a walk.
It was.
So if you can do that, like both of these pitchers, you feel good about your chances of winning if you can kind of get through the 1-4 hitters in this lineup. But I don't know. We know the story with as Cubs fans. Like, we know – it's the Brendan Donovans. It's the random no names that come
Harrison up well Bader.
So yeah, Harrison freaking Bader. You just never know in this type of series. But at least the season series is tied up now with the Cardinals. I believe it's 3-3. So hey, man, let's take 2 of 3. Let's get one of these two wins for sure, and can feel good about being a division rival that's in the mix here, the 2-team race at the top of the NL Central.
Absolutely. You would love to see another win, because then when we say fuck the Cardinals, it just holds that much more weight here at Cubs on Tap, taking 2 out of 3 against your division rival.
You see how Yadi Molina just like conveniently avoided this series? Just
good.
Yeah, went to the IL and just, I don't want to play against the Cubs.
Leave him there. Leave him there the rest of the season. I do not care about Yadi or Molina. Please just send him away forever. Thank you very much. He can go sail off into retirement now. But, Joey, Before we wrap this thing up and get out of here, I do want to remind everybody, Cubs On Tap is the official Cubs podcast of the On Tap Sports Network. Check out all of our great work at ontapsportsnet.com and at On Tap Sportsnet on social media. Follow the pod-specific accounts here. We are at Cubbies On Tap, C-U-B-B-I-E-S. You can follow us at Twitter and Instagram. I am at Loose On Tap on the Bluebird app. Joey is at Joey Knows Nothing. That ends in I-N because that stands for Win Baby. And you can follow at Juice On Tap, at TeddyFreddy270, at Brandon M. Kane, and all the others that do great work for us here at Cubs On Tap. Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks, you know the drill. We have it all. And yes, my friend, and there you go. Hired a solid head coaching choice for the Hawks. Joey, Johnny and I just did a show today on Four Feathers. Highly encourage all the Blackhawks fans to go listen to that. You can hear a little more about Luke Richardson being the reported new head coach for the Chicago Blackhawks. Technically not official yet. We talked a little bit Alex DeBrincat trade rumors as well, so go check that out either here on YouTube or here on Facebook or here on Twitter. And you can also listen to that in podcast form. That'll likely be available tomorrow. And yes, Cubs fans, the Sox On Tap crew do a good job covering the Southsiders. If you know someone that roots for the Southsiders, go ahead and send them to our friends at Sox On Tap. Once again, ontapsportsnet.com, at ontapsportsnet on social media. The On Tap Sportsnet, but go ahead and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Joey, it's always a pleasure to talk Cubs with you, my friend, but it is even more of a pleasure to talk about a Cubs win, and even more of a pleasure to talk about a Cubs win over the dreaded St. Louis Cardinals. So what do you say, my friend? We shut this thing down and get out of here for the weekend. The only way we know how at Cubs On Tap, especially against the Cardinals.
Fuck the Cardinals. Fuck Apple TV. Let's go Cubs.
Fuck the Cardinals. And let's go Cubs.